Bible to that text, Psalm 37, verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse number 23 is the verse from which that song is taken, Psalm 37, 23. You need to see it there. It says, again, read it with me, just verse 23, Psalm 37, 23. Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. Ready? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In Africa, we read it a second time. Let's do it again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I'm going to have Joshua help me here. Josh, just stand right down there. Maybe I need to bring you up here so people can see you. Come on up here, all right? Poor kid doesn't have much of a chance in life, does he, with being tall? Anyway, okay, Josh, I want you to take four steps this way. Okay? I didn't tell you to turn. Now turn and take one step to the right. Okay, now take two steps this way. Okay, now one step this direction. Okay, now three steps that direction. Oops. There we go. Homeschooler, you know, can't count. You know what? I just ordered his steps. What else did I order? What else did I order? His stops. See, the steps are ordered and the stops are ordered. You can be seated. I want to give you a challenge here this afternoon about stop signs again. I grew up in Iowa, and Minnesotans always picked on Iowans. They said that Iowa was Minnesota's parking lot, and Iowans always picked on Missourians. Misery, my mom used to call them Miss Sour Eye. But when I was in driver's ed, if we would roll through a stop sign, it was called a Missouri stop. I checked with Sister Megan to find out she wouldn't be offended by that. Megan Hammond is from Missouri. Stop signs. We looked at stop signs the last time we were with you, and I want to do that this afternoon if I can get this thing to work. There we go. A lot of stop signs in life. A lot of stop signs in life, and maybe you feel that your life is full of stop signs. I'm a little bit hesitant about preaching this because after I preached a few weeks ago, people were saying, oh, I hit the stop sign, oh, I hit the stop sign. So I hope we don't hit a lot of stop signs. But the Lord laid this on my heart. Last time we looked at some reasons for stop signs in our lives. And the first reason was to recall the potentate. Now, I realize if you cannot read that, you are a backslider, okay? So you can move up front if you want to. I promise you that it gets a little bit better than that. To recall who God is, to rest from the past, to avoid unnecessary pain, and emphasis there on unnecessary. We'll get to this in a little bit. To ponder our path, think about where we've come from and where we're going, and then to stymie our pride, because sometimes you just get to cruising along and God has to throw a brick wall or a stop sign or red light up there to bring us up short. Another reason is to trust God's promises. Seventhly, to develop needed patience, and who of us don't need that? To practice fervent prayer, to eliminate needless possessions. Sometimes at the stop signs, it's good to get rid of stuff you don't need. And then to stay busy with the project. But what I want to challenge you with this afternoon now are some more reasons for stop signs, and that is to suffer some pain. Stop signs do not mean that it won't be a little bit of pain. Look at your Bible there at Psalm 119, three verses. Psalm 119. See, stop signs can be painful places. I hope you don't have to experience what a man experienced about 2 months ago. We were down in North Carolina. There was a tornado that had gone through that area of tornado, and we have a supporting church down there. Just a half a mile behind that church in North Carolina, the tornado went through and touched down several places, left a swath there, tore down three elementary schools. But it was on a Sunday. The only person that died was a man who was at a stop sign and a tree fell on him. So sometimes stop signs can be painful places. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse number 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Sounds like a good reason to be afflicted. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, it's believed that's the last book that he wrote, chapter 4, the last chapter that he wrote, and if you peruse that chapter, you will find that there were a number of pains that he was enduring as he was at his stop sign, as he was in prison. You know, people had forsaken him, no man stood with him, he was ready to die. The emotional pain, maybe chained to a Roman prisoner, physical pain, you know, pains from memory and things like that. Stop signs can be places where we suffer some pain. Now, let me say, though, the pain that you will suffer at your stop sign is minimal compared to the pain that you're going to endure by running the stop sign. So which kind of pain do you want? Which kind of one do you want to risk? There's a 12th reason why we suffer or why we have stop signs, and that is to make plans. Formulate plans, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. A lot of times that's what prudence is. It's looking down the road and seeing repercussions of our decisions. In chapter 24 of the same book, verse number 27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field and afterwards build thine house. Back in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible tells us to go to the ant. Consider ways, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in summer, and so on. So thinking ahead. I don't know what we're going to have for songbooks over in Australia. So I took some time here a few months ago when I was in Africa, kind of some downtime, and I picked out some songs and typed them up and got them ready for either putting on overhead like this or a songbook. That was one of the things that I did in preparing for the future while I'm at this stop sign. And so we don't waste time at the stop sign, you know. We might want to prepare ahead, formulate plans, plan ahead for your next move, but of course not without God in mind. James chapter 4 tells us we need to be careful about that and saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, when God says, wait a minute, your life is like a vapor, and so on. Someone has said, plan your work and work your plan. It's good at the stop sign to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually and financially. Prepare yourself, prepare your family, prepare those that you're leaving. There's a lot of preparation that can take place at a stop sign. So we need to formulate our plans. A third thing this afternoon that I want you to see is to realize that a stop sign is part of the process. Say, Jerry, what do you mean? Well, if you look at that familiar verse in 2 Peter, maybe you haven't memorized. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 'Stop signs are just one part of the road. Verse 18 says, but grow in grace. But grow in grace. I heard a preacher say several years ago, if you don't grow in grace, you'll groan in disgrace. So it's good to grow. And realize, okay, as I'm going along the path of life or whatever God has called me to, whatever I'm doing here, I have to realize, okay, that the stop sign is it's just along the road. There's more to come. And this will not probably be the last stop sign that you're at. Okay? Jerry, don't say that. I got things planned out. I don't have time for one. I don't have time for one stop sign. Well, it's part of the process. We grow little by little and at various rates at various years. Now, let me say this. There are probably more roads in the country with stop signs than without stop signs. I like a country drive. My wife and I took a little drive the other day, Friday night, and on our way out to seek to see the Neps. And, well, boy, those are some beautiful roads out through Huff's Church there, places like that. But there are stop signs along the way. Now, you expect that, don't you? You don't expect a four-lane highway from here 10, 12 miles out through the country like that. That is part of the process. You just expect that. Why do we expect that when we're driving along in our jalopy, but we don't expect it when we're driving along? You say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm getting old. I don't have time for stop signs. Hey, don't think I haven't thought that. Not a lot of time left, it seems like. So suffer some pain, formulate plans, realize it's part of the process. Here's one. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And realize that it's an opportunity to identify with other people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Read it with me. Galatians 6, 2. A short verse, but a good verse. Well, I'll tell you, if we just obey this verse or put it into practice, that'd be application for what we heard this morning about loving our neighbors ourselves. What's it say? Read it with me. 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and what? So fulfill the law of Christ. That was like, that's part of it, okay? I'm at my stop sign, but I shouldn't think I'm the only one at the stop sign. There are other people at the stop signs. And maybe you're identifying with, I can identify with people better now than ever before. Waiting. Waiting. Now, it also might be that someone's in the vehicle with you that needs that stop sign. Maybe it's a member of your family that needs it. And it's an inconvenience to you if you look at it as, well, this is cramping my style. Well, time out. We have enjoyed time with our children and our grandchildren. You might remember that John's precious three were officially adopted when we were in Africa. And they had a special picnic or something at one of the parks. We got to see pictures. You know what blessed my heart? Seeing all you folks there when I couldn't be. But being back here, I enjoy the time with them. One of the men here in the church asked me a couple, three, 4 weeks ago, he said, are you getting any Olivia time? Olivia is my granddaughter. I know the Roys think that she is just the most beautiful little grandchild there ever was. We appreciate spending time. So maybe part of the stop sign is, and I remember Brother Godet saying this, grandparents will understand that. Yeah? We've gotten down to see our daughter Deanna and Aaron and the five little ones down there, you know, the little girls and little Liam. Got to spend time in California with our grandchildren out there. That's special, you know. But the stop sign may be, okay, you know, maybe my wife needs time. Maybe my kids, maybe I need time. Maybe my kids need time with me. Maybe my grandkids need time with Raholo. Raholo means grandfather. That's what they called me in Africa. I don't know. But see, stop signs, it's not just about you or not just about me. There's other people, and in this process here. So identify with other people. I want you to turn to another verse here. Let's go to John 10:10. I mentioned this briefly the last time. You're in John 10:10. One of you men get ready to read that, because I'm going to go to another verse here. So one of you get ready to read John 10:10. I would have Lino read that, but he probably can't find it. So, would you read it? Have you found it? Would you stand up and turn around so they can hear you? Well, anyway, read it nice and loud. Okay.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and
come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Now, I realize the Christian life is not about fun and games. But you know, listen, there's a truth about having your eternal destiny settled that makes this life a lot more enjoyable. Jesus said, I'm coming that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And if you're here this afternoon and you're not saved, you don't have a clue of what life is really. You just don't. I'm telling you. Listen to this verse I'm going to read you. It's found in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So when you come to your stop sign and it seems like that's, you know, maybe all you can see is your stop sign, there are some things, it might not be a bad view just to stop and enjoy it. You wouldn't enjoy it if you were rushing pell-mell right on through it on a four-lane highway. But maybe the scenery's not so bad at that stop sign. You know? We've enjoyed being back here. You know, with you folks and church and the singing and fellowship and meals and prayer time and outreach. And wow, you'll have to go on and on and on and on and on. So the scenery's not too bad at a stop sign. So when you're at your stop sign, okay, just... I know, you got your foot on the brake. Let me challenge you. Just go ahead and put it up and park. You sit there for a while. You say, somebody coming behind me. And it is true that sometimes at stop signs, guys do rear-end you, you know. If you see them coming, don't look, because they say if you look up in the rearview mirror and that guy collides with you, it, you know... Well, you would give Leno some business, so. But a stop sign can be a beautiful place. Okay? Number 16. Let's go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, it starts out and says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And you just keep on going down through here, and it's one of these, what they call a historical psalm, where he recounts the history and what God has done for the people of Israel in their history. You know, cruising along, sometimes we don't stop and really think about what God's done. You know, it seems to me like we're supposed to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Man, sometimes we struggle to pray. Do we ever struggle to praise? Can I challenge you to do something? I did this once a week when I was in Bible college, in my prayer time. I just took the time just to thank God. I didn't ask for anything.
Amen.
By the way, that's a good cure over depression. I remember a teacher of mine telling me that he said this kid came to him and he says, he's just really down in the mouth about everything. And the counselor told him, he says, I want you to go back and write down 10 things you're thankful for. So the kid went back and he wrote down 10 things he was thankful for and brought the list back to the counselor the next week. Counselor read them off, said, okay, I want you to go home and write down 100 things you're thankful for. And the kid went back to his room, 100 things, wow. Started writing down 100 things he was thankful for. Brought the list back to the counselor, and counselor read through it. He says, okay, that's good. Now this week I want you to go home and write down 1,000 things you're thankful for. Kid got the point. not to be complaining and belly aching, as my dad would say. Be a thankful people. And so at the stop sign, as much as we want to complain, because that's our bent, preacher, that's our bent. We walk in the flesh more than we'd like to admit it. And then we like to dress it up a little bit and make it sound like we're walking in the Spirit. Okay? So, recall God's provision and take time to praise. Look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 13. This is maybe a favorite verse of mine. Hebrews 13. I just mentioned it a little bit there, but go there. You got to see this word. Hebrews 13. I want you to fill in the blank here. All right? Hebrews 13, verse number 15. Fill in the blank. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God.
Continually.
I didn't hear that.
Continually.
Even at the stop signs. Ah, but I've done it all the way up to the stop sign. Don't I have some liberty at the stop sign to bellyache and complain? Not according to Hebrews chapter 13. And I believe the last I checked, God wrote that. So offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So put it in park, hop out, say to the world, and if they're not listening, say to the birds in the air, thank you, God, for the stop sign. So recall God's provision. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're close there, so let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. I know that that is going to be a little odd to thank God for the roadblocks that he throws in our way. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Look what it says there. Do you know this verse? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a what kind of people? What? Yeah, we're nuts. We really are. We're nuts. We're crazy people. And since the world thinks that anyway, well, okay, let's just... Well, thank God for this injury. Thank God I lost my job. Thank God. Fill in the blank. Yeah, that's pretty... Pretty peculiar, pretty odd of us, you know. Now the world says, just throw in the towel. And believer says, no, I'm going to wave the towel. Praise God, you guys really are odd. Hey, it's easy to preach it. It's easy to preach it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to prove to you this. Look at this, man. I'm trying to stay under 30 minutes. They don't even have the clock on. John, thank you. God bless you. Wow. Man, you're my kind of grandpa. Exodus chapter 14. Another reason or something to do at a stop sign is watch in preparation. The children of Israel here are at the Red Sea, aren't they? Let's look at verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, when he got close, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Let me read it like I think it happened. The Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness at this stop sign. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Wow. Drop down to verse 31. After the Red Sea crossing, which was about 15 to 20 miles across. You get the idea? Well, it was just, you know, the width of the auditorium here. Now, it took them all night to get through there. 2+ million people, probably. You know, that's a long time to hold the water back, walk on dry ground. But they couldn't imagine that, what was going to happen. And God is saying, okay, I'm getting ready to do something. Just stand still, okay? So I don't know what's ahead. If I knew what was ahead, I'd be God. Right? Not God. So I don't know what's ahead. And verse 31 says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, if we took testimony time, man, people would be popping up all over like popcorn, saying there was a situation in your life and you didn't know how God was going to deal with it, but when God dealt with it, man, you just praise God. Amen. Okay, so when you're at the stop sign, okay, unless the red light is stuck, and I know sometimes they are, it's going to turn to green. So stand and watch. Is God getting ready to do something here? Be ready. Don't go to sleep at the stop sign. It's the worst thing you can do when you're driving. And believe me, if you're at the stop sign for a couple of years, it's like... Sometimes I'm so tired when I'm driving, and we come to a red light like this, I will tell my wife or my kids, I said, I'm going to just rest my eyes for a minute. Tell me when it turns green. And I close my eyes and say, green. And I realize there's some of you in here that have more faith than I do about this stop sign that I'm at. I appreciate you watching while my eyes are closed and I'm resting a little bit. So watch in preparation. A lot of times God wants our full attention before changing the light. Okay? Let's look at another reason here. Let's lean on Christ's power. You know what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 12 about my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in when? In weakness. So we really don't tap into the grace and strength and power of the Lord until we really need it. God does not shovel a bunch of grace to us and say, you're going to need this 10 years down the road. No, he shovels it to us as we need it. And so if I have need for the Lord's strength at the stop sign, then... I mean, the Lord's the one who put the stop sign there. Didn't take him by surprise. And so, maybe it's a good time to get out the munchies. You know, I mean, wow, I couldn't reach that in the back seat. Let me put them in park here, reach in the back seat. Because I'm at the stop sign, Or it's a good time to take a swallow of... A&W root beer, my favorite, okay? No coffee, but A&W root beer, I mean. So you can lean on Christ's power. Now, I'm thinking that the thorn that Paul experienced, whatever that was, may have stopped him from accomplishing what he wanted or thought he needed to do. But there is a purpose for the problem. It humiliated Paul. I shouldn't say that. Humbled. There's a difference. People are humiliated when they're proud, and then God has to pull the rug out from under. And people are humbled when they see God as he is, and they're seeking to walk with him. I'm often more humiliated than humbled. He learned what it was to pray. He learned what it was to turn sadness into gladness in that text. But we need to lean on Christ and the power, the strength that he has to give. Then I want you to turn to another verse. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Get the big picture at the stop sign. So 2 Kings chapter 6. Now Israel is being chased by the Syrians, but Elisha here in the text is telling the king of Israel where the Syrians are, and so he's avoiding the Syrians. And you might remember that Elisha's servant came along. Of course, all he could see were the Syrians that had surrounded the city. So down in verse number 14 of our text here, 2 Kings 6:14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, an army, compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas!" Well, he probably said it like this: "Alas, what are we going to do? They're right out there." And he answered, chill. He answered, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And that, what in the world is Elisha's gone mad? And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Maybe that's a good song. Open mine eyes that I may see. "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, oftentimes, we lose our perspective. We see, Jeremiah, come hold this, would you? Just hold this facing me right there, if you would. Okay, just hold it right there. Here, get ready to hold this one too, but hold the little one first. Okay. So here we are in our journey, and we're sitting here, and you're not at a stop sign. Things are cruising along, man. You're graduating from high school, and everything's, you know. And so you see the little stop sign. You see the little stop sign. Put the big one down. Okay, see, and so, "Oh, I know what Brother Willie's talking about. Yeah, I know, and I'll face some stop signs. I'll flunk a course when I get to LTRIC, you know, I know." Believe it, I know that. My boys were crying on my shoulder about that. So we see this stop sign. Okay, I know it's coming. I'm just a kid, you know, I'm 12, 14. Or maybe I'm in my prime. You know, I'm in my prime. 59. Rhymes with prime, okay? So we see that, and then here's what happens as we get along in life. Now put the big one up, put the little one down, okay? Here's what happens. Now all of a sudden, whew, man, that's all we see. That is all we see. Thanks, you can sit down. Here, give me those. Thank you. Did a good job. That was tough. As a senior, man, don't expect a lot out of him, you know. Kid can play the piano like nobody's business, but holding a stop sign, man, that's tough. His dad told me to say that. So we want to get the big picture here, okay? Get the big picture that, okay, it's just really, and by the way, if I had him holding that up, it's still the same size. Closer I get. It just seems larger. Yeah. Because we're right there. Yeah. So I want to get the big picture about this and realize that, okay, it's really still little. It's not, that, I mean, okay, whatever you may be going through, and you say, "Man, I've been in this for 6 months. Okay, and you're my age. You're 60 years old. Okay, that's 6 months, that's 1/120th of my life. It's not really that much time, even though it seems like a long time because it's 6 months. Back up and get the big picture. Which leads us to our next thought. And that is found in, what verse did I give to you? Change your perspective. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above. So here's this crazy little stop sign that has become a big stop sign, and it's all we can see. By the way, I hope you notice Hawkeyes, Iowa Hawkeyes. Not Nebraska Cornhuskers. So this is all we see, and that's really where we're at, and we should be doing this. Change our perspective. I want to ask you a question. Do you look for the Lord's return as much as you look for the traffic light to change? Just about every morning I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's because I'm tired of being at the stop sign. I just will be honest, you know. Well, time to not look at, but look up. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, the stop sign, it's an earthly matter. And by the way, you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you what heaven's going to be. Are you ready for this? If you're not ready for this, okay, you're not ready for heaven, okay? Because here's what heaven's going to be. One big stop sign at the throne of God, praising Him for eternity.
Amen.
No, I don't know. During the millennium, we might do a few things, but I hope you get my point. So we need to change our perspective from earthly matters to heavenly matters. I was just reading this. Look, if you will, at Psalm 130, verse number 6, or let me find that for you. Psalm 130, verse number 6. I'm just reading this before the service. Look at this verse here. It says, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, in case you didn't get the point, more than they that watch for the morning. He's looking for God more so than that crier on the city wall would be, sunrise, first rays of day. More than those that watch for the morning, more than those that are in the dark at the stop sign. Man, we need to take on the attitude of the psalmist here and say, I'm looking for God. Here's what we want. At our stop sign, we want God to come along and knock over the stop sign. That's what we want. We're not there to learn the lesson. We say, God, get rid of the stop sign. And we have our God in our box and pull Him out or pull Him out of our pocket whenever to do whatever we want to do because this is inhibiting my plans for life. So change your perspective. Lastly, I'm going to give you 11 thoughts here today, and then I think I'm done. Look at this picture. Now, Brother Chris has been expositing Philippians chapter 1. If you haven't been here on Sunday nights, you need to come. Okay, good challenges. Appreciate it, brother. And what did Paul say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21? For me to live is what? Is Christ. Okay, here's our purpose. Here's our purpose. Our purpose is to live for Christ. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. Paul said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, you always have a purpose in life to live for Jesus.
Amen.
Have you ever heard this phrase, bloom where you're planted? Look at those. Big, tall, stately palm trees. Right by the stop sign. You know what it tells me? It tells me that there's not just macadam at the stop sign. There must be some soil around there. Must be something that you can, well, someplace where you can bloom. Someplace where you can grow at your stop sign. You know, what we want to do is we just want to get in our rocker and cross our arms and get fussy with God, what's that going to accomplish? There's a reason why we're there. So I don't understand it. But I can bloom where I'm planted. I can recall my purpose. Listen, a lot of people die. I was reading about this here some time ago about the number of people that die when they lose their purpose in life. And I probably told you, maybe told you, my dad who passed away 2.5 years ago, one of the last things he said to me, he said, Jerry, I just don't know my purpose in life. I just don't know what my purpose is. That was on a Friday or Saturday. He passed away late Monday night, 2 days later. Lost his purpose in life. Now, if you're a child of God, okay, I'm going to live for Christ at my stop sign. You know, I'm going to glorify God at my stop sign, you know. If it's to learn how to spell stop, by now I know how to do it. But if that's what I'm supposed to do, is spell S-T-O-P, you know. Or I'm glorifying God in spelling stop. You know, live for the Lord Jesus. Whatever I do, glorify God. Work the works of Him that sent me while I was in. A lot of times we think that the stop sign is keeping us from doing God's work, when maybe it's at the stop sign where God wants us to do His work. See? And we get so, you know, concerned about us doing something for God, and I'm not for being lazy, but maybe God wants to do something for us and grow us, teach us, learn us. So don't forget your purpose. Let me say this, as long as you are living and breathing, God has a purpose for your life. And Paul in prison, who wrote that verse in prison, we know it was under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We know that. We know he was a person too, okay? I think he was the greatest Christian who ever lived. But also know this, he put on shoes like you and I, you know? And he went through some challenges and things like this, but praise God. He says, you know, even at my stop sign here in prison, chained to this Roman guard time and again, and, you know, an epistle of what? Joy. By the way, when you sing, smile. When you sing, smile. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh. Doesn't look like you love Jesus. I'm trusting God this stop sign. Brother Will, I told him I had to. Smile at the stop sign. Praise God. God cares enough about your life to put a stop sign in your life. There's a lot of lessons here at stop signs. What a good God. What a good God. And you stop and you think about that, and it humbles me to think that a great God who fills heaven and earth, and he measures the universe with the span of his hand. And I can pray to him in Jesus' name. That's absolutely incredible. And God would care enough about me, love me enough, put a stop sign in my life. Because he knows what he's doing. Only one time in my life I've ever seen them erecting a stop sign. I don't know what happened. It happened over here in Alberta Sears a few weeks ago. I've seen stop signs erected. But very seldom have I ever seen them putting a stop sign up. I have no idea who erected the stop signs. And I don't know. I know that God has put up the stop sign. I don't know the purpose. I don't know when and why. I don't know all that. Man, I got a purpose here at this stop sign. Praise God. God's good. God's good. Turn in your songbook if you've got it. 482, John, if you want to bring that up. Where he leads me, I will follow. I think it's 482. Brother Joel, you want to come to the piano? I want us to read a couple of these verses here. 482. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Look at the chorus. Where he leads me, I will follow. And people jokingly say, where he leads me, I will follow. What they feed me, I will swallow. You know, that's a missionary on the mission field. And so a lot of times, okay, Yes, I'll follow God. I'll follow God. I'll follow God. Okay, I'll follow God. And then like Joshua, okay, I'm listening to God. And now God ordered my steps and he ordered my stops. God ordered my step. God ordered my steps. He ordered my stops. So it's good where he leads me, I will follow. And sometimes, I mean, it seems like, you know, you preachers, you know, it seems like you're always trying to kick people and keep doing something for God, doing something for God, doing something for God. Let's go. And then sometimes you pull in the reins, yank them back. Okay. So where he leads me, I will follow. Good, good, good. Okay. Now he's not leading you just yet. So are you as willing to be stopped as you are to be started? See? Verse 2, I'll go with him through the garden. Verse 3, I'll go with him through the judgment. Where he leads me, I will follow. But here it is, you know, at the stop sign, through the stop sign, whenever. And make sure you're not practicing a Missouri stop. You know what? God's going to give you grace and going to give you glory. Can we sing that? Let's sing the last verse of this song. Let's all stand and sing. We'll close with this. He will give me grace and glory. We'll sing the chorus and we'll close in prayer.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for stop signs. And we thank you for the lessons we can learn at stop signs. I don't know who's at a stop sign. Probably someone's going to come upon a stop sign this week. I hope and trust and pray principles from your word will help them endure the stop signs and enjoy the stop signs and be educated from the stop signs. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.